What up, what up, everybody? It's Double G for the Fight Game Podcast. John, this is our second show this week.
Yeah.
We should, I don't know, it's two shows in 1 week. It's almost like 3 hours of dynamite. It might be a little bit too much, but on some weeks, it might just work out. So today's show will be a little bit, it'll be a little bit shorter. It won't be the full usual 90 minutes that we go because we talked all about the pay-per-view on Monday night. So if you haven't listened to that show and you want to hear our thoughts on that, it is in the feed. Check that out. But today, tonight, this morning, whenever you listen, we're going to talk about some of the bigger WrestleMania storylines that they're really heating up the road to WrestleMania. And so I want to get John's thoughts on some of that. And then we'll do our AEW recap, our Dynamite recap, and we're going to do it a little bit differently. I've been really thinking about how to make this segment stand out, or just either you recap the show or you take some important bits. And so I thought we should really look at the big picture. Like previously, when we were reviewing the show every week, we were really granular. We were just like looking at every nook and cranny of that show and critiquing it or praising it. And that's great. Again, if you do that, like right after the show airs, by now, everyone has had their take about AEW Dynamite, the show after the pay-per-view. So what I want to do is I want to look at it from like a really big picture perspective. And that's kind of what I even want to call the segment. We're going to get some sound, some graphic stuff going on. Probably next week, Justin Nipper, I put him to task, and he's getting some sound ready for our new segment called The Big Picture. But we do have a sound for our thumbs up, thumbs down segment. So we'll have a little bit of sound there and graphic for those watching on video. But before we even get into that, you know, one of the things that is so underrated about going to these live events and going to live wrestling in general is just seeing people who you don't get to see a lot. We shouted out everybody from the weekend on Monday, but you know what I realized? And this is, I don't know, I was pretty touched, is how many people I saw last weekend who were like, yeah, when I heard you and John say X, and like, I know people listen to the show. If people didn't listen to the show, we wouldn't do it. We would just like throw in the cards, right? But I can't really comprehend. I can't really think when we do the show, I can't think of like how many people listen or who's listening. We just do the show and try to do the best show that we can. So when people reach out to me and they're like, oh yeah, you know, when you said this, that was actually really interesting. It kind of throws me off a little bit and I hesitate. And then it's like, wow, yeah, this person is listening. Like, he's probably listening, you know, to us every week. So I just wanted to shout out all of the listeners and say, you know, we definitely appreciate y'all. And we've been doing the show for a few years now and on this website for a couple years now, but we did it previously. So, you know, the people who do listen to us, it is so appreciated. And it's fun to hear that. It's fun to hear that people are, you know, thinking about some of the things that we've said. And you know, if you want to shoot us feedback, always open for feedback, gg@fightgamemedia.com. Discord stuff as well, if you want to come hang out with us in the Discord. So just wanted to mention that because it kind of just blows my mind. You know, I understand where we are on the hierarchy here. Like Brian and Dave are like just the reason why people subscribe, and then you kind of hope that, oh, people go, oh, there's more audio. And out of all of the shows that we do on this network, we just hope that ours is good and stands up with the rest of them quality wise. And it you know, from the feedback that I get, it sounds like people like to hear us talk. So that's always a good thing. And just wanted to make that point, because, you know, sometimes you kind of take it for granted a little bit that you have listeners. And I just like to do that every once in a while to go like, thank you all for listening. So,
yeah, definitely.
All right. Next week's show, I'm actually going to be driving to Tucson, Arizona, to go see my kid and my parents and go see some spring training baseball. I've been really fighting paying for a flight. It's just one of those things where I'm like, it makes no sense for it to cost less for Paul Fontaine to fly from where he lives in Canada to Las Vegas than for me to fly to Tucson, Arizona. It just doesn't make sense for me. So I'm putting it off. I'm thinking about driving. And if I drive, it's going to be Thursday. So I'm going to try to leave early enough to where, you know, I can get there in 12-ish hours or so. Who knows, depending on how many times I have to stop. But that will put us, our recording time, at probably around this time. And if I have the energy to do it, you know, and do it from my parents' house. So that is still the goal. I thought about going back to Wednesday night after Dynamite, but then we'll be up so late and then I'll wake up late to, you know, to go on the drive. So for now, let's say we're doing it Thursday night. If I just, for whatever reason, can't do it, maybe we can do it on Friday for Saturday. And you know, we'll still do a good show on a Saturday, you know, but that's just kind of that would just be sort of the emergency time. So I just wanted to let folks know, just in case. Well, I will tweet out stuff and make people as aware as I can for that. All right. So are you ready for our thumbs up, thumbs down segment? That was a head shake.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you hit the thing. That's what I thought. I was waiting for the graphic to hit. And
I wanted to cue it off of your voice.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I am. I'm very ready for this segment. I got my thumbs up. I got my thumbs down. I'm prepared. Took notes.
All right, here we go.
It's in my head, but you know.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Justin Nipper production. Vocals by Keela Cash. She's got like one of the greatest podcasting voices out there. All right, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first.
All right, go for it.
Thumbs up. I want to kind of shout out, once again, Christian Cage and Jungle Boy for their match at the pay-per-view. To me, it's the second best match on that pay-per-view. And I went back and kind of rewatched it again because I thought maybe I was like in a haze and I was just loving it. Maybe there's something I can kind of go back. And I would say it's a great match. It is really good. And Christian's such a great leader in there. And I thought Jack did a great job, like I said, showing that aggressiveness. And it just built well to the thing. I really like that match. As silly as it is, right? Like, as a match I probably wouldn't like. I never liked the Buried Alive match ever.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And when we found out what the stip was, like the day before or something like that, where it was, I was like, oh, rolled my eyes. But still, I thought it was a really just a tremendous job by both men. And so that's my thumbs up. I guess we'll talk about Dynamite, but I mean, Jungle Boy really made a step forward in there.
Yeah,
I thought. And I was really looking forward to Dynamite to see what was next for him. But
yeah, just to kind of play off that a little bit, I wonder if Jungle Boy had to go there mentally in order for that to come out a little bit. You know, sort of how these actors kind of do the method acting, and for him to really bring some of that darkness into this angle, he, you know, the build up to Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, also from what I remember, was not great. But when they got to that match, he showed some fire and some athleticism, and you know, he was all, when he was doing that post press conference, you could tell he like felt like, okay, I think we did a good job. And likewise, I wonder if he was able to sort of channel some of that stuff, you know, that Christian was using in the promos to fire up. Because, you know, that's one of the things that you critique him on pretty much every week, which is he gets out there and he doesn't feel the energy. He doesn't feel the crowd. He doesn't feel the moment. He kind of just going through the motions a little bit. And in that match, he had the fire.
Yeah, and I want to see what he can do next. Like, does he bring it out for every match? You know, I mean, of course, he went a certain level because it's a blood feud, I guess, or a feud with some really deep issues and deep hatred for each other. But I still want to see if he just find that energy and find that aggressiveness in his matches coming up. I would like to know that answer this Wednesday, but no follow-up to Jungle Jack Perry on Dynamite, which I thought was a huge miss after such a great performance by him.
Well, you kind of called it, didn't you? You were like, Ricky Starks and Jungle Boy need to have matches on Dynamite. Now, we don't know. Maybe he's shaken up. Maybe he's got an injury. But they didn't say anything either. So we don't know. We really don't know anything about him.
If he can't work because he is injured because of that match, because it was a very physical match they had. Film a promo, a pre-tape, you know, right after that match. Give us a fiery promo, you know, talk, you know, just so they can show the highlights of this on Wednesday, and then we'll show this promo.
Yeah,
like we'll talk about in the big picture side, but the lack of follow up, you know, was very glaring on the Wednesday show, and it really hurt the viewing, my viewing of the show, and really took me back. Like, wow, they just had one of their best pay per views, I think, ever.
Yep.
And all we got a cool little highlight with the entrance music, but other than that was it. Seemed like, right, for the most part.
All right, my thumbs up is Nick Khan, president of WWE, and you know, Nick Khan and WWE, they do a lot of smart things business wise, and you could probably come up with, you know, multiple things that they do very smartly. But there's one thing that I think the story came out, it would have been yesterday. Yeah. And Dave and Brian talked about it a little bit on Wrestling Observer Radio earlier this morning. And WWE's in talks with Colorado and Michigan over legalized betting. Now, I'm not putting Nick Khan over because I'm this, you know, gambler or anything. I don't generally gamble on anything. If I go to Vegas, maybe I'll put, you know, $50 on the Giants winning the World Series in an even year or something like that. But this is a thing that I wouldn't expect even a pro wrestling company to even really understand, right? But this is why you have someone like Nick Khan, because of the background that he has as an agent and in sports. And it's just the idea to me is that you're constantly creating opportunities for more people to learn about what you do and get excited about what you do. Now, the NFL, fantasy football, gambling, like that is the big time sport that people just go crazy for, and they're locked in all day on Sunday because they have their bets going on and stuff. And you could think about it in the same way with a wrestling show, like these Peacock shows. All of a sudden, you know, casual fan thinks that they know a little something something. Maybe they're reading Meltzer, and they might think, huh, you know, I got a little bit of an in on this match. And I'm gonna put some money on it. And then if I'm putting money on it,
yeah,
I'm probably going to watch it, right? I'm going to pay attention to it. I'm going to make sure that it's on my schedule and on my radar. And what I'm also going to do is I'm going to watch it live.
Yeah.
Because I want to see what happens as it happens. I want to see what bets of mine hit. So I think this is so smart. They're at the starting line of this whole thing, right?
Yeah. Because,
you know, there's all of these companies are trying to get, you know, the legalized betting. I know California shut it down in the last prop that we had. And so this is still just the beginning stages. But, man, you know, just Nick Khan's mind for certain things, I think it's just a really important thing for WWE. And I kind of feel like, you know, Triple H is very valuable to that company. Roman Reigns, very valuable to that company. Vince McMahon, as we saw, not that valuable because they were fine when he left. And I would put Vince like much lower on the pecking order than those two guys, Triple H and Nick Khan. I think Nick Khan's the most valuable guy in the company. I think if they were to lose him, that would be like, man, you know, that would be cause for concern for me. But he's there and he's doing great stuff. So he's my thumbs up for this week.
Yeah. I saw the report. I saw them dipping their toe in a couple states to see if they can get this going. And it's very interesting. I don't know. I hate gambling. I mean, yeah. I just get stressed out if I lose $5. So
what if Vince Russo was booking? You'd just be like, I have no idea who's going to win these matches.
That guy would probably be murdered for some swerving. What was the betting line for Tony Khan not following up his great pay-per-view with the Dynamite, because I would have won big on that one.
Yeah, I think there was probably a pretty good idea. And the reason is because it's not just because he didn't want to put on a great Dynamite. Part of this, and WWE has been has fallen to this as well, he was probably locked in last week, so busy with a live Dynamite, a live Rampage, then that four-hour pay-per-view. And then he's like, oh, man, I got to do this again.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some, you know, I'm sure he was tired. I'm sure it wasn't as tight as it possibly could be. Mm-hmm. So there's some of that. And in you can probably say that, yeah, it's probably pretty predictable that show wasn't great.
I'm just saying, if it was me, I would kind of had that Dynamite figured out months in advance. Because, you know your pay-per-view is going to happen. You know where you want to go next for your next pay-per-view. I would have started kicking in on that. I have
an idea about that, about why that wasn't the show that they were really, really setting up. And we'll talk about it when we get to the big picture.
Yeah, I think I know where you're going with that one. Yeah.
All right. What about thumbs down?
Thumbs down? Oh, man, I'm going to say NXT.
Oh, wow.
I watched a little bit of Roadblock on this Tuesday. Threw it on. And, you know, the wrestling's fine. You know, for the most part, there's some really good talent they got there. It's definitely better than the 2.0 era, right? But there's a segment like right after the first match, Kiana James, Josh Briggs, goes sees her, and it's like just two cameras shooting this office. It is so hokey. I watch a little bit of WoW Wrestling every week because I have some friends on the show and I like to check out their matches, and you know, I don't watch the whole show. I kind of skim through it. And it's a very hokey show when it comes to their skits and stuff. Actually, the skits are so hokey, it's kind of, but you're expected because it's a hokey show, right?
Mm-hmm.
NXT, it just doesn't fit. It doesn't feel real. And honestly, after that one segment, I couldn't get into the rest of the show. And I think that probably mentally reason why I kind of just zoned out and ended up zoning off and fell asleep, because you know what I mean? It was just like so embarrassing. Why should I care about the 6-man tag with the Creed brothers and Braun Breaker versus Jinder Mahal and Indusher? Like, that sounds like a fun 6-man tag match, but you gave me this hokey crap with this, you know, stuff. And it's not just this segment, it's a lot of segments. Like, why am I seeing, like a few months back, I saw another promo, Apollo Crews, and why am I going into his eye? And why am I seeing what's in his, you know what I mean? Like, these overly produced. And I don't know why. It's like, why they're doing this. I mean, I don't think everything needs to be, you know, 1974 from Florida or, you know, Mid-South Wrestling. But when you clearly slap the view in the face that this is all just goofiness, it's hard to suspend your disbelief and hard to get into what's going on, you know?
Yeah. Yep. All right. My thumbs down. Now, after and during such a tremendous match, MJF's finest moment inside the wrestling ring, there was a situation that happened during the match.
Yep.
And it bothered me for multiple reasons. So he grabbed a cup which had a liquid beverage in it from a woman and tossed it in the face of a younger person. I don't know the age of this person, but you know, a child. And I know that he probably believed that it was water. Like, that's what probably anybody would believe, but they do serve alcoholic beverages at the show. If you were at Chase, you could have gotten, you know, any sort of drink that you had wanted from the bar. And it turns out that it was some sort of alcohol. And some people thought it was tequila. I have a friend who was right there, and he told me that it was tequila. And it got into this child's eyes. Now, in no way do I believe MJF wanted this to happen. This is not what I'm saying. He absolutely did not want that to be tequila going in this kid's face. But the problem is, I think, and if you saw this in the post scrum or the press conference after the match, this dude is so deep into his character and so much does not want to break that character that he sometimes steps over the line. And, you know, it's funny because he talks about he calls everybody a mark, right? Dave Meltzer was in the press conference and, you know, Dave was a mark and Brian Alvarez was a mark for being at the press conference, according to MJF. But there is, and I don't even like this word, but it's just the word that I can use so that people can understand what I'm talking about. There is no bigger mark for himself than MJF. That is also what makes him great. That is what makes him such a fantastic pro wrestler. But when you're so dialed into yourself like that, you do stupid stuff like toss tequila in a boy's face. And, and you know, like again, it's not anything where I think he did it purposely. I know he didn't do it purposely, but you cannot cross those lines. Imagine what would have happened if it was in WWE, right? Like he would have probably, unless it was, you know, maybe not. Maybe if it was like a Randy Orton or a tippy top person, maybe nothing would have happened to them. But I can't imagine that someone does that at WWE and does not at least get fined, slap on the hand. Now, maybe Tony Khan's doing the same thing. But all I saw online was, you know, during the press conference, Tony Khan saying, you know, MJF did not act like a champion. And Tony himself is in the character of the show. You know, when he's saying stuff like that, I wish they would have just been like, cut the bullshit. This was wrong. We apologize. It'll never happen again. Stuff like that can really hurt, you know, our fan base, and it just needs to be done. And so that's my thumbs down. I just thought it was not only a terrible mistake, but also the follow through I thought was pretty poor. And look, that's why you have a PR thing, man. Like let's get some people working here and make sure that, you know, we do the right apologies and we make sure that people know how much it was a mistake. And MJF, you know, probably wants us to think it was real because it happened. And it's just that stuff is where, to me, I'm just like, okay, I get it. You're great at what you do, but, you know, you don't have to go so hard 24/7 in that instance. In any other instance, you want to call people who show up to that press conference marks, great, whatever. That's why I don't go, but I had to make that point clear because I haven't really heard him get a lot of flack for that. I was actually surprised that I haven't heard it on some of the stuff that I listened to. So I just wanted to give my own point of view there for old MJF.
And on branch off that just a little bit here, big thumbs down to what I saw on social media from other wrestlers that were like, that's great heel work.
Yes.
You know, no. It's not, you know, like, yeah, you know, Terry Funk would get in people's face and get crazy and get, you know, he would never hit a fan or attack a fan or, you know, unless they hit him first, right? Same thing with others, Abdullah Butcher, Brody, right? Yeah, they came and swung the chains and the people ran. That was part of the fun of, you know, going to the matches and being terrified of the foreign wrestlers. And, you know, I just, it was a bad move, and I don't know why he would do that if he didn't know, I understand if it's a plant and you had something planned out.
Sure, that's sure. Fine. And that's what we thought it was, right?
That's what I thought too.
That's what we thought it was
at first. But if it's not, then don't do it. I know he's in character, but in character so much where you see a little kid and you're going to take, if you even is whatever it is, you're going to take something. And because you know what can do? Oh, man. Michael Modest told me this story one time that he was at a show and some wrestler did something similar to a little kid. And he was so mad at this wrestler for doing that because you just took a potential fan of wrestling and made him possibly could be a non-fan. Like, I would never want to go to a show again. You know what I mean? Like, just because you're trying to get some heat, like, that's not heat, you know? It was definitely a black mark on a classic match that, you know, that night. But yeah.
All right. Let's talk about some WWE before we get to our big picture segment here. The Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and Usos love triangle that is happening before our very eyes.
Way to describe it.
There was a little bit of a storyline, actually a big part of the storyline at the end of Raw. Jey Uso, he had to choose between Brandon Walsh and Dylan McKay. He chose his twin brother, Jimmy Uso. Of course, yeah. I'm choosing my twin brother, my blood. And he turned on Sammy. And so now it is he's picked his side. We have the Usos. You know, what's funny is the Usos, they turned on Sammy. I still find them so likable. It's crazy. They have such a great charisma, those two guys. In all of wrestling, like, there's some cool guys in wrestling, right? You see personas. You look at someone like Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb's just a cool dude. Like, he looks like a cool dude. You meet him in person. Mm-hmm. He's just a cool dude. He's a cool hang. That, to me, like, the Usos are like the same way now, you know, based on, you know, some of their prior happenings, you know, maybe a little bit too fun sometimes, but those dudes, they just look so cool. They have such great charisma. You just look like two dudes you'd love to hang out with and just, you know, mm-hmm. get a beer with or something. So I find it's you know, they did something dastardly, but I'm still like, I still like those guys. But what did you think of how that happened, how they're setting up what we believe is to be a tag team title match with Sami Zayn and eventually mm-hmm. Kevin Owens? Because Kevin he's holding out right now. He's not ready to give Sammy the hug. He has a good memory.
Yeah.
He remembers what happened over this last year. So what did you think about that turn in the story?
Well, you got me like, hey, did you hear what happened on Raw? Where was a recording, I think, Revolution, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh, man, you're going to make me watch this Raw. So I luckily, I was able to skip through and the next day because I've been off work the last 3 days. So I thought it was great. I got way into my head with it at the end. Like, I was, you know, because when Roman tells Jimmy, like, hey, I'm going to have a problem. It's going to be you, not Jey. And then so when Jey came out and he got face to face with his brother in the ring and he puts both hands, arms on his shoulders and just has that look and he walks away. It's almost like I got to do the right thing. I got to go with Sammy. But then when they're standing there together, Sammy and him, and they're like kind of, you know, unified for a bit there. I thought the best part of the whole business was Jimmy. And Jimmy's not the strongest of the actor of the two, right? Because he just crumpled down on his knees and like you're looking like he feels he's a dead man. And we see that he's a dead man, right? And I got into my head thinking, like, I got way deep and way too deeper. And I thought, you know, I was talking to a buddy about this. And I said, I wonder if the turn was Jey saw his brother and he saw what he did. It was going to affect his brother. And so he turned on Sammy because he's actually protecting his brother than hatred for Sammy. You know, yeah. I don't know. That was probably too deep, but I probably overthink it. My friend said I probably did. I loved it either way. And I thought it was great. And it was definitely going to be a really hot match. And I thought there's also like a cool moment. You know, I love what they're doing with Cody. And I love what they're doing with like Cody. Because, you know, like a lot of people were worried, oh, man, they're going to hate Cody. They want Sammy to win. But they're doing such a great job of making Cody this catalyst to bring these two best friends back together.
Yep, yep.
And I'm sure you saw the segment where it's like,
it was smart.
A goofy segment with the, was it Boogs and Elias. And Bronson Reed.
Yeah.
And I watched it first and I had to rewind it because I'm like, did I just see?
Yeah, I didn't even know what was going on in the background because I was so mesmerized by the goofiness of what they were talking.
Well, I was mesmerized by the massiveness of Boogs, man. What the heck? That guy is he's huge right now. And then I rewinded and go, oh shit, there's Cody talking to Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was brilliant. The only thing I was concerned about is like, when people say see Boogs and they see Elias, they might hit the fast forward button there,
yes,
and miss that. So I thought maybe you could have done that with maybe someone overact more, a little more people are going to pay attention to what someone's going to say there. But anyway, I really like it. WWE, when it comes to this bloodline stuff, has been really good. And you know, they're just not throwing everything at you at once. But I think we're getting close to that where it's all going to, they're only a couple weeks away, right, to WrestleMania. So they're definitely
going
to
be. Yeah, 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. They're definitely going to be probably culminating it either. I'm guessing, do you think they're going to do Raw again? I was shocked. I kind of thought they would, this would happen on SmackDown, but I know Raw needs a little bit more help, I think.
So I think the reason it happened on Raw is Roman telegraphed it a little bit. I think it was last week on SmackDown where he said that Jimmy had a week to get his brother in line. So you're thinking like, oh, he's got to do it by Friday. And we all thought, oh, it's going to happen on Friday. But no, he did it on, he was able to do it on Monday. So we got it done early. And yeah. I kind of wonder how this dovetails into situations with the twins and Roman, because, you know, Roman's really hard on those guys and they actually empathize with Sammy more than they empathize with Roman as a human being. They're more like Sammy than they are like Roman, but they understand also that this dude is the head of the table. He's got a lot of power. And so I wonder if there's going to be anything with them in the future, because, you know, if you saw the brothers kind of just connect again, like, okay, these are twins. These guys know what each other's thinking. What happens if Roman pie faces one of them again or something? You know, I wonder if there's a point where that whole thing kind of breaks up and you know, maybe that could happen. But whatever they're doing is great. I think Roman's probably going to take some time off at some point, and it allows them to get a little bit of a shine, you know, without him.
Yeah.
And they were able to do that with Sammy. So I just love those dudes. You know, they may not be, you know, they're not allowed to be the Midnight Express of the WWE. No one really is because of how you push tag teams. But man, they've been such a great act for such a long time for WWE.
Well, I think if Cody does win the titles, you'll see that with the Usos and Roman, because Roman, now he doesn't have the power as champion, right? And so I think we're gonna get some cool stuff post WrestleMania, I think, with this Bloodline group. And yeah, I think Roman will take some time off, but I don't think it'll be too long as long as people think, though.
All right. So the other thing I wanted to mention is John Cena is back for WrestleMania. He did a grade A burial of poor Austin Theory.
This should have been my damn thumbs down. Fuck. I forgot about this because it was so stupid.
You know, John decided to go inside on the people and really make Austin Theory look bad. So there's not really much to say there, because I thought it was just poor. It was just poor all around. It didn't, Theory didn't shine in any way. He actually looked exactly like what Cena said about him. I was like, oh, he's doing exactly, he is exactly what Cena said about him in this segment. But the thing that I wanted to ask you about was the post, which is Cena's going back to the crowd, or back to the stage, introduces Cody Rhodes to the crowd. Now, I thought this was brilliant, because there have been moments in previous, you know, you have Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior beats Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania, and then Hulk Hogan does the thing where he's like, belts him like, you're the next guy, and then Hogan cries off into the sadness, and everyone empathizes with Hogan. There was the WrestleMania with The Rock, when Cena finally beat The Rock, and The Rock finally was like, you're the man. It didn't work because the people didn't really like Cena as the babyface. They were like, no, you're going away. We're going to miss you, and you're leaving us with John Cena. And then they tried to do it again when Roman won the Royal Rumble, and The Rock came out and he raised Roman's hand, and the crowd was so mad because they did not want to see Roman. They wanted to see Daniel Bryan, right? Like, they were so mad. So those last two things were a little bit, to me, they were a little bit of a misreading of the situation because of how the fans felt about those two guys. In this case, Cody is still a fan favorite. People still want to see this dude. And so for Cena to do it now, it made it really seem like, yeah, like, maybe Cody is kind of the next John. Cody is kind of the version of John that we love, the one who we get to see once or twice a year, not the one who we were chanting, you know, John Cena sucks at. But I thought that was so brilliant, because they didn't wait until Cody was being booed by the fan base to try and then get Cena to, you know, give him the ball. They're like, no, we're going to do it now when the fans love him. And it just made the fans love him even more. I thought that was a really brilliant thing. And I would guess that this is a Triple H thing, but a much better reading of, and understanding of your current audience.
Yeah. And I also think it was how they presented it. Like, it wasn't, like you said, after a big title win or after a big Rumble win. It was almost spontaneous if they didn't have the music playing on that kind of stuff. But and it kind of happened real quick. They hugged. It wasn't sitting there like focused on for too long, but just enough to be like, you know, hey, man, I respect this guy a lot. He's doing a great job. You know, you guys are in good hands. And people were totally cool with it. So,
yeah.
But quickly to the Austin Theory, Sean Cena thing, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. This is probably I think for me, it's one of the worst things since the Triple H booking regime. And I don't know if this is even Vince's, or maybe this is John. Maybe John has some brilliant idea to get Austin Theory over, and this is the way they do it. But like that, from that promo, I felt like he painted himself in a corner by saying, like, if I beat you, you know, you gain nothing. If you beat me, you still gain nothing. So what the fuck? If he beat him, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, so I unless Austin Theory just destroys John Cena at WrestleMania, I mean, if we can approve some bleeding on this show, he just destroys him and pins him. I can't see how Austin Theory comes out of this unless he just, I don't know, or maybe they can have a great match and John Cena shakes his hand. But Cena already told us, no matter what, he still doesn't win if he even wins. So, because Austin Theory is the goods, man. I mean, he really is. I mean, he has such a great upside, and he should be treated like Orton was treated when he was on the rise up, you know, because he's that level. He can talk, he can work, he's still young. I mean, they need to create stars. He's a guy that could be a big star, and here he is, the U.S. champion, being dressed down, you know, and I don't get it at all. I would love to talk Triple H about, like, what was the plan here? Why'd you do this? You know, I mean,
he's going to tell you, you got to wait. It's a long plan, long-term plan here. You're gonna have to wait 3 WrestleManias to get the payoff with Charlotte. That's Charlotte and Rhea. My bad.
Yeah. Well, that was Vince thing. Let's be honest.
Okay, so we'll keep following the good stuff on WWE. But let's talk about our AEW working segment, the big picture, where we take more of a wide scope lens view on Dynamite than the microscopic view that we have been doing. So my first question to you is, as someone who has booked wrestling and is a student and a historian, what is the purpose of a TV after your pay-per-view? You don't have another pay-per-view for, you know, 2.5 months. What are some of the things that Tony Khan is thinking? This is what I have to get done for this show coming out of, like, you know, one of the greatest pay-per-views they've done.
Well, one of the things you should do is start giving people ideas what's coming next, not for next week, but what is the, give an idea where it's going till the next pay-per-view in May, right? And also on this show too, there should be some follow-up from what happened at that pay-per-view, especially with all these guys that, you know, these homegrown stars that they put over, you know, where House of Black showed up, did something, but nothing highly impactful. Ricky Starks leveled down on this show, you know, where he's going next with Juice Robinson, a person that we haven't even seen win on freaking Dynamite yet.
Rock hard, Juice Robinson.
And Jungle Boy. Like I said, great match, great win, and nothing with him. MJF, maybe this is part of the suspension. Maybe there's a little bit of a suspension going on. Maybe what happened with this kid, so we don't know. And they had MJF do his post-match promo, pre-tape, But man, don't you think he needed to have a moment? I know he's having something in Toronto, right? Is it Toronto they're doing the show?
Winnipeg.
Winnipeg, excuse me. And it feels like they're booking towards next week as a bigger show than this one. But this one, I thought, man, they should have, you know, give us some hints on some stuff, you know? MJF could have had a live promo talking about what he's going to do next week. And, you know, and what, you think I'm rubbing your face now?
Yeah.
Wait till next week, you know? And then that's when whoever's going to interrupt that's probably most likely I have is going to be Adam Cole, but we'll see.
I thought this show was the go-home show for Dynamite in Winnipeg. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, you texted me that, and I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it was. I thought, it's like, well, what's going on in May? Like, what are we see? What's the big – but I guess we're going to see that. I think next is going to happen next week, but I kind of feel like we should have had it here.
And you know, I'm probably being a little critical because I thought the TVs in – the Bay Area at the Cow Palace were terrible. Dynamite, not terrible, but also not good. I didn't think it was good. I thought it was pretty average. Rampage was just maybe the worst wrestling show I've paid money to that wasn't like an indie show. and so I may be a little bit more critical for that reason, because I just got off of paying good money to see shows that didn't really deliver for me. But if I'm in Sacramento, I'm like, oh, wow. Revolution, we're gonna get the start of some stuff coming out of Revolution. Sacramento, you know, first time in the area, this is going to be a good show. And there was some okay stuff on it, but that show was not to deliver to the Sacramento crowd. That show was to create hype for the following Dynamite. And if I'm in Sacramento watching this show live, I'm like, what do I get out of this? Like, why did I buy this ticket? I'm buying a ticket to help market the bigger Dynamite in Tony Khan's eyes, which is the Winnipeg Dynamite. Like, why can't I get something here? Now, I know people will say that's why you got the Will Hobbs thing. And I agree with that to an extent. But then if that is the focus of this entire show, and that's kind of the big thing about the show, then it is about whether or not that thing delivered. And I don't think that thing delivered. No. So now the onus on that segment, that is kind of what you have coming home. If you're Sacramento, you got that bad taste in your mouth, unless you enjoyed it, unless you enjoyed the way that thing went. And maybe you're just happy that Will Hobbs looks to have taken some sort of a step forward. And if that is the case, then so be it. But I was like, okay, this is the thing that you have to hit out of the park, because this is what the whole show is set up for. Everything else in this show was set up for next week. And I thought they swung and missed on the main event.
They swung and missed on the main event in a lot of ways. Little Birdie did tell me, though, that Warlow was supposed to be up, but they switched it.
Really?
So I don't know how truthful that is. That's a pretty good source. But after the car breaking in situation, they thought maybe it'd be a good idea to switch it. I don't know. I feel like they had this planned, but it was, I thought, a terrible, terrible main event, terrible way to get Will Hobbs over. He had so much momentum. He was so over in San Francisco, obviously, his hometown crowd. And Sacramento's not too far away from San Francisco, obviously. And so much was wrong with this. From, first of all, it does Wardlow no good. He just won the belt back. He's been ice cold. He wins it back.
And he's wearing an FTR tank top.
He wins the belt back in a bad match. And he gets beat. And then, well, first of all, let's go scale back here. Early in the show, he talks about what happened with his car and everything. And he decides, the babyface now, decides to make this match a false count anywhere, no disqualification match. And at the end, he loses when Powerhouse Hobbs needs QT Marshall to interfere and help him win the title.
But John, they told this story 6 months ago on Rampage.
Yeah.
They
never
reminded us one time, but they told it 6 months ago, John. Yeah. This is great storytelling here, according to some of the fan base.
But booking, you made Wardlow be completely stupid, right? He's the biggest idiot in wrestling. How can there be heat on Powerhouse Hobbs for cheating to win when there's no rules? That was established by the babyface champion. So the rules that he put in place that he wanted ends up screwing him at the end. So why should he be upset with Powerhouse Hobbs, right? It was so frustrating when I saw this. It didn't. And first of all, it should have been Samoa Joe. You want to get Powerhouse over to have him beat Samoa Joe, have him be a dominant, have him win decisively right in the middle. And putting QT Marshall with him, and some people say this is just a one-time deal. It didn't look like that from the television. QT has now a new gimmick, QT TV. Apparently, he disbanded the factory. So, you know, and now he's going to be put with Hobbs. It's just going to hurt Hobbs, in my opinion. And I hate to see that because, you know, I love Will, you know, and I want him to be the star that he should be. And QT Marshall couldn't get heat if he set himself on fire. Like, it's go away heat. That crowd, they might think that got heat. It wasn't heat. It was, this is bullshit heat, right? Because they didn't want to see Will Hobbs win that way, and he shouldn't win that way. It was so frustrating. This was one of the worst pieces of business I've ever seen. Maybe I'm wrong, and it'll be a great combination, but I don't see it. Because when have we seen QT Marshall in anything since he turned heel that we want to see on television? We haven't, right? The Cody thing was horrible. That program was horrible. The factory was not. It was just there. They're just job guys. Like I said on Twitter today, like when Sergeant Slaughter beat the Ultimate Warrior at Royal Rumble, Dusty Wolf didn't come out and help Sergeant Slaughter win the title, right?
Dusty Wolf.
Right? That's what QT Marshall is. He's a job guy in AEW. As a on-screen performer, he's as that level. He's a job guy. You know, Macho Man came out and helped out because that's a big star, and Ultimate Warrior moves on to a big star to feud with, right? QT Marshall. Ridiculous.
I agree with you. And, you know, it just goes back to, we were talking about, you know, I want some baby faces to root for, because the baby face chase is so much fun. It is a classic wrestling trope. If you have a good baby face, the chase to the title, the chase to beat up the dastardly heel, that is so much fun when you watch wrestling. And so you saw Will get over in front of the hometown crowd. Now, if you're the hometown crowd, you realize you were just used to set up a swerve in him turning heel and winning the title. It was just a big disconnect for me, especially being there live in the Cow Palace. It was, you look at someone like Will Hobbs, who has not been overexposed on wrestling television for the last 15 years, like some other folks haven't. And that's not to say that overexposure or being a star for a long time is a bad thing, but he's fresh. He's still fresh to this audience. Yeah. And so you're like, oh, wow, this guy's kind of cool, and he's got the snarl, and he's telling his story, the Book of Hobbs. The Book of Hobbs should not have set up what happened on Wednesday. That's not why I was excited for the Book of Hobbs, is to see that happen. Yeah, I think it's just opportunity that was there for the taking, and they did not make it as special as it should have been.
He has such a babyface story, and people want to cheer that guy. You know, they wanted to cheer him when he was with Starks. We talked about that a million times. Speaking of Starks, I want to pivot to Starks real quick. You do all this for Starks, right?
Yep.
Beat Jericho twice. He should be moving upwards and onward to some bigger matches with a few, or with bigger stars. And even goes, and it's, the whole thing was weird. He comes out there and says basically nothing. Like, I don't know what I'm doing next.
Yeah, what's
like,
next? Like
almost, like, almost like he had like no direction, or he didn't get what the direction it was they wanted him to go out there. And then you hear the Bullet Club music, which I think was a pretty bait and switch for Jay White. I think a lot of people felt that way.
You know what Tony Khan would say, though? Jay White's not in the Bullet Club anymore. I don't know why people would have thought that.
And then it's Juice Robinson, and you know, no disrespect to Juice Robinson, but his peak was what, 2018, right?
Yeah,
and he hasn't done much, especially in AEW. I mean, his first match he lost to John Moxley in a match that wasn't good. I don't think he's. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. You watch more Rampage than I have.
Not,
I
don't think that, he's one not of by much. I don't watch I don't much think more Rampage than you.
I don't. Someone could correct me on. Don't say YouTube. It doesn't count. No one cares. Don't give me that shit. Has he won on Dynamite? I know for sure no. And has he won on Rampage? Because I don't think so. That's not going to get Starks. Or just because you put the Bullet Club thing on there. Think the Bullet Club, hey, in Japan, people still dig it. They still sell merchandise there. But dude, that peaked so long ago, the Bullet Club, right? It's NWO black and white at this point. No one cares. There's a million people in it. Starks, man, Starks, you feel it too, Garrett. He has something, right? I mean,
okay. God. I'll play the devil's advocate here on the Starks thing. What if this is just an angle for Ricky Starks to continue to win matches because the pay-per-view is a little bit further away and they really want to push him maybe towards Will Hobbs for that title. And in order to get to Will Hobbs, because Will Hobbs was dancing with Wardlow on Wednesday, they're like, okay, let's give him something. Couple matches, he wins, boom. And now he's ready for Hobbs in the fans' eyes.
That's fine, but you don't need to have me attacked and laid out by a guy who means nothing in his promotion. If you want to have Starks come out, say, hey, you know, I'm moving on. I want a championship. I want the AEW title. I want the TNT title, you know? And then maybe Juice could come in or cut a promo on him like, well, I want the same things too, and I will challenge you at, you know, win in Winnipeg. And they just have a match in fucking Winnipeg, and he beats him. And then next week he beats another guy. He's on a roll, you know, winning matches on television and fighting until he's ready for Will Hobbs, if that's the match you're going to go to. But damn, you know, like, if it's not Adam Cole, and Adam Cole's not ready for MJF, I think he is, but if he's not, like, I could believe Ricky Starks back, you know, back with the MJF again, he'd be a perfect guy to come out and ruin that, you know, bar mitzvah MJF's having next week.
The re-bar mitzvah.
Yeah, like, people want that guy on top, you know. So I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. And then we get the, what do you think about the AEW International Championship? I felt like this promotion definitely turned into WCW 1993 all of a sudden. Remember, it was the NWA World title, then it was the NWA title, then it was the big gold belt, and then finally it was WCW belt. International belt. That's why I feel like this All-American or All-Atlantic channel was.
If fans of We're Live, Pal were listening very closely, Andrew Zarian is throwing hints all day long, and then flat out on Tuesday he was like, they should just change it to the international title. I had to stop myself from like really cracking up because he just decided not to be subtle anymore. But what about the I'm still not exactly sure how Shazam is attached to this match in any way, but
yeah,
you know, they got a little bit of WBD, you know, partnership with it. They, you know, they mentioned Shazam, and there's a little video package with the Shazam trailer and Orange Cassidy Jarrett involved. By the way, no surprise that Jay Lethal had another good television match, I thought.
Yeah, he's great. He did his best that can with the Orange Cassidy. He's not bad. It's just when he gets in his goofiness part of it, it just doesn't work. But I'm guessing Jarrett's gonna go over. I have a feeling he's going to go over.
You think so?
Beat Orange. And there's another issue we had on this show. Within the first 30 minutes, we had two attacks from behind. First, Eric on Orange Cassidy. And then Juice Robinson on Ricky Starks. I just couldn't believe it. It's like, oh, man. And then what do you think about the Blackpool Combat Club? I mean, they're already going heel, right, from what we've seen. but this was like the big heel turn, and it's over the Dark Order. Remember when I don't know, but Demolition turned on the Bushwhackers, and, you know, shit, fucking, right? Like
I will say, at least okay, Hangman still looked like a goofball. Brings a knife to a gunfight yet again. Gets his butt kicked. At least he did it this time to save his friend. Because the last time he did it, Evil Uno was like bleeding like a stuck pig. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do it to save his buddy. He just did it to attack Mox, who had just been in like this 10-minute match and was all tired. At least this time I was like, okay, he did save his friend. It's a little bit more valiant of a baby face. And even though it was still stupid because he got beat up. But the other thing about that was, Renee just asked him if like things were cool and they were okay. And so Renee and Mox are not on the same page because she didn't give him any hints that maybe Mox wasn't done with him. But he was like, no, we're good. And then he comes out. They're not good. We're getting another match next week.
Yeah, he says it was a 6-man tag team match, right?
At least I saw the someone shared it.
I feel like they're just
in the Discord. Let me find it here.
I feel like somehow, some way, this is going to be their blood and guts match. You know, I don't know. I think BCC needs a few more members, but.
So Stu Grayson is back. It is.
Well, he lives in Canada, right?
Yeah. It is Adam Page and the Dark Order, Evil Uno, Stu Grayson, and Hangman against the Blackpool Combat Club, Claudio Moxley and Wheeler Yuta on Wednesday in Winnipeg.
Have they announced Brian Danielson? Like, is he still in this group or not?
Well, according to the TV, he's going away for a little bit.
Yeah, like, okay. If he got flat out pinned cleanly, MJF, you know, proved him wrong, beat him cleanly right in the middle, maybe he has some things to reflect on and, you know. But MJF cheated to win. Wouldn't you be pissed off instead of being a little baby and crying about it? Like, I don't know. I thought this was a disconnect here. I thought, you know, after that match, that title match, I wanted more. I think there was more. There's obviously more. There's a screw finish on the baby face, right? But now he's going to go, you know, reflect and spend time with his family. Yeah, but.
No, because he can't feel his arms and he can't feel his legs.
Can't feel his arms, can't feel his legs. But
we'll talk more about the MJF story next week, because the only thing we know is that he's doing a promo on his birthday and we assume somebody's going to interfere. That person may be his next opponent. That person may be a pay-per-view opponent. But we'll analyze that a little bit more next week. And so
my prediction. Adam Cole.
I would love to see Adam Cole. Adam Cole did say he's going to wrestle whenever they run that All Access show. I don't think that's until the end of the month, though. So maybe he shows up and he just doesn't have a match until the end of the month. They could also do a shorter thing where, you know, it's just a baby face who's going to have a TV match for the championship, and then he moves to Adam Cole or moves to Hangman Page or whoever that person is going to be. So we'll see what happens. Could be Darby.
I'm trying to think of anyone that's over enough that we care for a TV match with MJF, right? Not that many.
Yeah, I don't want to see Jungle Boy because he's going to lose.
Yeah, he's not there yet. Jungle Boy, I mean, he's been a project for 3 years, but I mean, you still need to kind of bring him up slowly from this point, you know, this point on after that match with Christian. So,
all right. Last piece of, you know, sort of our big picture. So did it do a good job in setting up this Winnipeg show, which does seem like it is the much bigger Dynamite than what Sacramento was? So we have Jeff Jarrett versus Orange Cassidy for the brand new international title. We have the MJF segment that they're going to set up, which I imagine will be great because he's going to cut a great promo. And then the other piece of business that we didn't really talk about, they set up a trios triple threat title match. Jericho Appreciation Society got a win. They did a promo about being the number one contenders. Then the Elite came out, Kenny Omega started to cut a promo. Don Callis took the mic from him so that he could tell Jericho that Omega's the better wrestler from Winnipeg, and that if he still laced up his boots, Jericho would be third, because that would mean Callis was number two. And then hocus pocus, you know, someone turned the lights out again. I'm so over that thing as a way to bring these dudes in. Like, just play the stupid, you know, just bring them out. Just let them walk out. Like, enough with this stupid stuff.
Yeah, as good as the Bray Wyatt stuff is, at least production-wise, it looks slick. But this is literally just turn lights off while these guys run in place.
Yeah, he's just here, this hustling to get into position.
Especially when you're live, and when I was at Dynamite, and you just see them just running. Run over and just get just stop. It's just, oh gosh.
And so they show up in front of the Elite, and so it's going to be the triple threat trios, and then they shut the lights off again. And somebody must have got lost, because the lights were out for about an extra 2 or 3 Mississippi. I'm like, when are they turning these things back on? What's going on?
They probably ran to each other, knocked over. Fucking Julia got stuck somewhere.
So that's a match now for that audience, for that live audience. Jericho and Omega in the ring together, they're gonna go nuts. For the TV audience, if you love the high spot stuff, I'm sure you'll love that match. But I immediately thought, like, oh my gosh, we're gonna see so many high spots and so many so much craziness, which I like some of it. I don't like to be hit over the head with it. So I imagine this match for next week, I'm already going to call it right now, John LaRocca Invitational match.
I don't understand why it's the three-way. I don't think you should do this. I think you're like quickly doing this, unless it's true that Omega's not going to be around for a while and they're trying to get everything in. But
well, he's got to be on that show. Jericho's got to be on that show.
I think that's the match. Just, yeah, you know,
the I think it would have been better. It would have been better as that, for sure, to me.
Yeah.
So I was more excited for those two teams than I was when they added House of Black.
Yeah, yeah, me too, because House of Black just had this dominant win, and I think they should be, hey, we're the end goal. You guys fire it out. And I think Jericho going for the six-man titles, I guess it's fine, you know, for what it, you know, it's probably a good spot for him right now to be in. And I think a few of the House of Black would be interesting with the, you know, JS. So we should see. Not my favorite thing.
And then the Dark Order and the BCC.
You talk about Jade Cargo has like a mystery challenger.
Oh yeah, is it gonna be
who's here? I haven't really even thought too much about who the girl from Canada would be. Or there's,
could it be Taya? Sorry,
Taya Valkyrie. She's Canadian. Or she's she is.
I want to say.
I'm trying to think of any other women from Canada that was, you know, Trish, but she's not going to do it.
I want to say Mike Gilbert mentioned something about it being possibly Taya. So if it is, then all credit to Mike Gilbert for Brace for Impact.
But she's the MLW Women's Middleweight Champion.
Is she?
I don't know. Something like
that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I saw
Don't get mad at me for, I wasn't trying to tamper. I just didn't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just thinking of people who could it be? Jade, hopefully they have an idea with Jade. I don't know if they have the wrestler. Maybe it is Chris Statlander. I don't know who the wrestler is to beat Jade. I don't think they have that person on the roster, but how much longer can you do this?
I just feel like Jade's probably going to be end up teaming up with Britt and Jamie as like the homegrown talent versus the outsiders or whatever you call them. Sky Blue gets so much TV time. I don't, you know, she's a cute girl, but wrestling wise, my goodness. And Russo is, you know, not the leader in there as she thinks she is, but it just, Sky Blue feel like she's on the show a lot. It's almost like Tony has like a crush on her, you know, wants her on TV a lot. It feels like to me, like, what are all the other girls he got, you know?
I mean, maybe she's just like the good soldier. Maybe she's just the one who's, you know, working hard and always, you know, listening and soaking it up and being a good student. Maybe it could be something like that.
Where's Abaddon at? Oh, it's not Halloween. Abaddon's can't. Yeah. It's unavailable to October.
All right. We're going to wrap it up. And we'll be back next week. Like I said, we'll figure out the time. If I'm still awake and I guzzle down a Zoa energy drink or something, we could still do it on Thursday. So I'm hopeful. And I think that's the other thing. I can't remember if Arizona is the time is different. Because they don't have the daylight savings. So
yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes it's our time and sometimes it's an hour off. So I will also have to figure out what the time is there. So,
okay, cool.
All right. We are done here. We are going to wrap this up and be back next week. I think just for Friday, Wrestling Observer Radio with Big Dave. I don't want to jinx it, but one Medusa Maselli has a book out. And I think we're going to talk to her tomorrow. So book is pretty fun. Like she's got a very interesting career. So Big Dave and I are going to talk to her. Cross your fingers. We'll probably have video as well. So we'll be able to put that up on the video subscribers portion of the channel. So
you guys have a lot to live up to in that interview. If that happens.
I know. Justin just did one.
Really good. So definitely people go check that out as well.
See, but that's not fair. Well, it is fair because, you know, Dave has covered Medusa's entire career, but, you know, Medusa wrote Fumi's name in her book, like as a friend. So, you know, they go back.
I mean, I think after that Fumi Justin interview on Write That Down on a Fight Game media free feed, maybe a little bit of a bigger fan of hers just because her energy. I really enjoyed her listening to her. So,
yeah, she had a crazy childhood too, which it seems like that's not to say that that's the norm of a lot of people in pro wrestling, but man, some people in pro wrestling have really nutty childhoods. You feel really bad for them.
Yeah, I want to read that book. I'm curious about like WCW, like 92, 91 area, but Monster Truck era.
Yeah.
Like, how do you fall into that and all that?
I probably won't be able to finish it until by tomorrow, but that's the part of the book I'm just getting into, and I'll try and read a couple chapters before I fall asleep after this is the Monster Truck stuff. All right. We'll be back next week. So for John, I'm Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.